This is Implausible Engineering, and this episode is Turning Night into Day. The July 2026 decision to allow the launch of Erendil 1 will put a giant 18-metre steerable mirror into Earth orbit, so that it can reflect sunlight from beyond the horizon down to the ground and hence turn night into day. Well, at least a bit. Whether it actually does launch in 2026 remains to be seen, but we should assume it will happen at some point. Nonetheless, it's worth reading the fine print. Firstly, this mirror has to be in low Earth orbit, otherwise the reflected beam of sunlight will spread too wide to be useful. Even from the currently planned 600 kilometers altitude, the reflected beam from an 80-meter diameter mirror will spread over a 5-kilometer diameter area on the ground, and hence the mirror will only deliver as much light intensity as you might expect from a full moon. Another important issue is that for a mirror to reflect sunlight onto a nighttime location, the satellite has to be in simultaneous line of sight of both the sun and that nighttime location. So from an altitude of 600 kilometers, there's only a narrow strip of unlit surface that you can light up. The most effective strategy is for the satellite to follow a polar orbit on the daytime edge of the terminator, which is the day-night division line that moves steadily from east to west as the Earth rotates. So the satellite would be in what we call a sun-synchronous orbit, where it will always be above locations where the local time will be around 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. From that orbit, it can always be in sunlight and then reflect that light onto a dark location pre-dawn or post-dusk. From 600 kilometers altitude, such a satellite mirror can reflect light from the sun to the surface across a 5,000 kilometer strip. That is, 2,500 kilometers to either side of the satellite's path. So really, all it can do is to extend the day by about 40 minutes, either at post-sunset or pre-sunrise. And there is yet another issue. With the mirror in low Earth orbit, it's moving very fast, and so is only in anyone's local sky for about 4 minutes. So, to do anything useful, you really need lots of these satellites, sequential ones to extend the time a dark area is lit up, and also additive ones to multiply the light intensity on the ground up to something approaching daylight. This is why Reflect Orbital, the folks behind the Erendil 1 pilot project, plan to put up around 50,000 mirror satellites sometime in the 2030s. For the moment, it's best to say this is just a plan. The economic viability of the plan is a bit questionable. Where the expected revenue comes from powering solar panel farms at night, although, as we discussed, it's only for an extra hour or so. There could also be some supplementary revenue arising from lighting up special events or even emergency rescues, but that will be very dependent upon an alignment between where and when the light can be sent and where and when it's actually needed. Anyhow, whatever happens will be whatever happens. But given this is an episode of Implausible Engineering, it's also worth considering what could be made to happen to really turn night into day. One option is a geostationary satellite mirror, which would be at an altitude of around 36,000 kilometers, where it will nearly always be in line of sight of the sun, apart from an hour or so at each equinox. So such a satellite could reflect sunlight onto the surface over a whole night. Of course, an 18-meter mirror at this altitude would just be a dot in the sky. You'd more likely aim for a mirror that approximates the full size of the sun's disk in the sky, which at a geostationary altitude would be a mirror about 330 kilometers in diameter. From the ground, this would look to be about the size of a full moon, but being a mirror at a geostationary altitude, it would reflect light in a tight beam rather than producing the diffuse, widespread glow that we see from the surface of the much bigger but much more distant moon. If we did go with a 330-kilometer diameter mirror, a flat mirror's light would still spread to something like an area of 700 kilometers diameter on the ground, and so would have less intensity per unit area. But a moderately curved mirror could keep the beam tight and hence deliver approximate daylight intensity to a 330-kilometer diameter area on the ground, an area that is much bigger than any of our largest cities currently are. Optical physics won't allow it to be turned into a death ray by increasing the curvature further, since you can't concentrate a reflected image down to anything smaller than what you started with. But if you increase the mirror's diameter, and hence its light-capturing ability, and then added curvature, you could actually make it a death ray. And this is why you don't really want a geostationary mirror any bigger than 330 kilometers in diameter. Now, engineering-wise, building and maintaining a steerable 330-kilometer satellite mirror is a bit implausible. A larger death ray mirror is even more implausible, and if you really wanted daylight intensity across the whole planet at night time, you'd need a mirror as big as the planet. Something like a 13,000-kilometer diameter mirror, which is pretty much nuts, not to mention its death ray potential if its geometry ever became unstable. It's more likely you'd aim to build mirror swarms, being small coordinated units, although these might need to number in the millions to build up the required reflective surface area. And even then, there is still a key question of whether any of these options are more economically rational than our current strategy of using ground-based artificial light. It's not like people can't currently work or play through the whole night if they want to. It's just that most people don't want to.